Somewhere in America, right now, people are up early, deliberating about gravy. And one of them is our own Renee Montaigne.
Steve, actually, I'm more like reveling in gravy because we're going to find the hidden music in it. And for listeners who might not know, on Morning Edition, tradition requires that every Thanksgiving we take one part of the meal and give it a musical spin. Our traditional guest for these conversations is music commentator Miles Hoffman. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Renee. You too.
In the past, you and I have spoken of drumsticks, real turkeys, leftovers. I've been wondering exactly how you are going to do a musical take on gravy.
Yeah, well, this is my wife's idea, Renee. All my best ideas are my wife's. And she thought that cadenzas would be a great example of musical gravy, the embellishments that composers and performers add to concertos to spice things up. Again, if I can cite my wife here, Renee, and her recipe for gravy or her instructions, you start with the yummy bits that are stuck to the pan. And that's what cadenzas are. Cadenzas take themes from the body of the piece and embellish them. The soloist plays or sings without the accompaniment. One example is from Beethoven's third piano concerto, and toward the end of the first movement, we have a big cadenza for the solo pianist.
And how did it all begin?
I'm not surprised
a soloist wants to show off.
You're not, huh? Actually, the tradition of cadenzas, Renee, started a very long time ago. It started in the 16 and especially the early 1700s with the castrati, the singing eunuchs, who were the tremendous rock stars of Italian opera. They took every opportunity they could to show off their amazing voices. That's Cecilia Bartoli, Renee, a coloratura mezzo-soprano, a woman, but that music would have been sung that high by a man, by a castrato. And the word cadenza is an interesting word. It comes from the word cadence, and a cadence is a closing sequence in a piece, but the word cadence itself comes from the Latin cadere, which means to fall, because in early church music, melodies almost always descended or fell in pitch to their last note. So what these singers did back in the early days of opera is they embellished the cadences.
Does that mean that cadenzas would have been short? You almost think you could sing that and maybe even only listen to that for, you know, a short period of time.
No, sometimes they went on and on and on, and that's why there were these very funny commentaries that were written by musicians and critics at the time making fun of the castrati, saying that they would sing for 7 minutes at a time without breathing, that they would take a pinch of snuff and walk around the stage, and that the orchestra would start falling asleep while they were showing off. This got way, way out of hand, in fact, to the point that it resulted in real changes in how operas were written and performed.
We've been talking about showing off or soloing. How much of it was improvised?
The good musicians improvised. The ones who weren't so good had their teachers write out these flashy passages for them. So you had both. You had, in many cases, great composers writing cadenzas for their own pieces. Beethoven wrote cadenzas, in many cases, for his own concertos. Not always. As a matter of fact, in the listings of the Sibley Music Library, they have cataloged something like 15 different cadenzas for the Beethoven Violin Concerto. Cadenzas written by other people, by performers. And my favorite cadenza for the Beethoven Violin Concerto was written by the great violinist and composer Fritz Kreisler.
Been talking about the cadenzas as a musical version, if you will, of Thanksgiving gravy. You know, gravies can be a delicate business, I know, because I mess it up. Are there examples of a cadenza that really was messed up?
Well, I hate to do this usually, but there is another cadenza for the Beethoven Violin Concerto, cadenza that comes in the same spot where the Kreisler cadenza comes. This is a cadenza by the Russian composer Alfred Schnittke, and I'm afraid that this cadenza has mainly gotten well known for its shock value.
Yeah, that is a little shocking, especially...
And you haven't heard it all, Renee.
Well, especially having just heard Kreisler's.
Which is very beautiful.
So immediately lovely.
That's right.
Miles, a lot of folks will be waking up and hearing our musical tribute to gravy, thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to make some. Few foods provoke more nervousness, I think, before
angst.
They go on the table.
Gravy angst.
So as a special Thanksgiving gift to our listeners, tell us what we should go out that would be quite a soothing and...
No, I don't want to go out. I think we should go out with something that'll put everybody in a good mood and make them laugh. That would be the violin cadenza at the end of the third movement of Mozart's Musical Joke. Now, this piece was meant to make fun both of bad composers and bad performers.
So you've just provided us with the perfect music for a Thanksgiving disaster.
Well, which we hope we don't wish on anybody.
All you can do is laugh. Miles, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Renee.
Miles Hoffman is violist of the American Chamber Players and dean of the Petrie School of Music at Converse College in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. With Renee Montaigne, I'm Steve Inskeep.